Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to this Christmas edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and Merry Christmas to you. We're here on this Christmas day with you. Thanks for bringing us into your home and letting us visit with you today. I pray that Christ will be formed in you afresh, that today, a day of family and food and hopefully parades and football games, will just be a great time for you to have at least a few moments to contemplate Jesus, Him being birthed in that manger many centuries ago. May He be birthed afresh in you this day by His Spirit. We are beginning a wonderful series that Derek Prince is going to be teaching us called 12 Steps to a Good Year. You know, one of the things I love about the teachings of Jesus is that it puts some of the control for the way our lives go in our hands. It's not just a matter of que sera, sera, let's sit back and let God do His thing. God does His thing whether we let Him or not. But there are those truths in Scripture that help us understand that we have a role to play. We can choose certain things. We can obey in certain ways. We can activate certain things by the way that we live. And Derek's going to be talking to us about this. I don't know about you, but in the next 7 days or so, I'm going to be thinking about the new year. I'm going to be thinking about what kind of year I want 2007 to be for Stephen Mansfield. And I imagine we're all going to give some thought to that. I want Derek's help. If there's anybody whose help I want in contemplating my future, it's Derek Prince. So let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us about 12 steps to a good year.
The new year has been traditionally associated with resolutions. I think it's not quite so fashionable perhaps today, but when I was a boy growing up, at the end of the old year and the beginning of the new year, everybody made their good resolutions for the new year. And at the same time, they usually laughed at themselves, knowing too well that their resolutions wouldn't last long into the new year. However, I do believe at this time it is appropriate to make resolutions or to reaffirm those already made. You see, resolutions or decisions determine our attitudes, and our attitudes in turn determine our approach to any situation, and our approach to any situation determines the outcome. Let me just restate that sequence. Resolutions determine attitudes. Attitudes determine approach, and approach determines outcome. The way you approach this new year will ultimately determine the outcome of this new year in your life. A wrong approach will lead to a wrong outcome. A right approach in God will lead to a right outcome. So your approach is going to be decisive, and your approach depends ultimately on your decisions, on your resolutions. So our resolutions at this time of year are important. If we haven't made the right resolutions, we need to make them. And if we've made the right resolutions in the past, it's very helpful to reaffirm them at this time. Now, the Epistle to the Hebrews provides us with 12 pattern resolutions, each introduced by the phrase, "let us." That's very interesting. In due course, I'm going to be quoting to you each of these significant sentences that begins with "let us." To me, it's very interesting that as I've gone carefully through the Epistle to the Hebrews in the original language, which is Greek, I've discovered that there are precisely 12 such "let us" sentences in the epistle. And I believe these "let us" sentences constitute 12 good resolutions for the new year, or I prefer to call them 12 steps to a good year. But for a little while now, I want to dwell on the significance of the introductory phrase that's used at the beginning of each one of those 12 resolutions, the phrase "let us." This phrase contains two aspects. First of all, it denotes a resolution, as I've already said. But secondly, every time in the Epistle to the Hebrews, the resolution is in the plural. It's never let me or I will, but it's always let us. It's always in the plural. And that indicates not merely that we have to take certain resolutions, but that we have to take them together. I believe this is a fact which the Holy Spirit is emphasizing in a special way to God's people at this time, that we're not independent, autonomous units, each one just going to make it through on our own, regardless of our fellow believers. But in a very real sense, we're dependent on one another. And if we're going to make it through to the fulfillment of God's purpose, we're going to do it together. We'll never do it separately as individuals. Let me show you a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 4 that bring out this point. Paul says about the ministries that God or Christ has set in his church for various basic purposes, the building of the body, the perfecting of the saints, and so on. In verse 13, Paul sums up the purposes of these ministries. He says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then in the same connection with reference to Christ, he says in verse 16, from him, Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You'll notice the emphasis in both those verses on the collective rather than the individual. Speaking about unity and the full knowledge of the Son of God and maturity, Paul uses the words, we all, until we all reach unity, the knowledge of the Son of God, until we all become mature, until we all attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The implication is clear. We're not going to do it on our own. We're dependent upon our fellow believers. And so the resolution that we make is not just an individualistic, self-centered resolution as to what I'm going to do in this new year, but it's a resolution which includes our fellow believers. Let us. And then again in that 16th verse, Paul points out how much we're interdependent upon one another. The whole body is a unit, joined together by every supporting ligament, and it only grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In the natural human body, if one part malfunctions, it almost inevitably affects the other parts. Take, for instance, the liver. If the liver malfunctions, it's going to affect many of the other main areas and systems of the human body. So all those other areas and systems are dependent on the liver. And in the same way, as Christians, we are dependent upon one another. The conclusion is this: we cannot attain to true maturity without our fellow believers. It's not enough to have an individual goal. We must also have a collective goal. The new year confronts us with the need for resolution and decision, but that resolution is not just an individualistic resolution for each one of us alone, but it's a resolution that all of us as believers have to take together if we're going to attain to God's goal for us.
You know, already Derek has nailed me. Here I was thinking about my New Year's resolutions, my new year, how I wanted to shape my new year, and Derek already challenges me just in this first little bit of teaching by telling me that my resolutions are not solely for my own purposes, but I'm part of a great whole. Man, I need this teaching, and so do you. Listen, there's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Derek Prince once said that it contained some of the most life-changing and practical messages God had ever given him. He made that remarkable statement about a special book he titled Transformed for Life. And here at the threshold of a new year, those truths are especially relevant. You see, far too many of God's people struggle to make vital changes in their lives. Resolutions are quickly broken. Resolve turns to weakness. A familiar cycle of defeat leads to discouragement and resignation. But as Derek points out in this important book, it doesn't have to be that way. In Transformed for Life, you'll discover that God is your Father, and His love for you is extravagant. You'll also find out how to develop a close personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you'll learn how to turn lingering disappointments into God appointments. Order your copy of Transformed for Life now for only $12.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. you can break free from the things that weigh you down and live the life God has planned for you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio on this Christmas Day. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and it's wonderful to have you here. Again, my prayer today for you is that Christ will be formed in you afresh, just as he was formed in the womb of Mary. May he be formed in you afresh, and may he transform your life this Christmas Day. Have a great time with family and friends, but thanks for listening to us. This is going to be a great time of getting ourselves aligned for the new year. We're listening to Derek teach about 12 steps to a good year. Already, he's nailed me by telling me that these steps are not just about me. Let's listen as Derek teaches us and gets us ready for a great 2007.
In many respects, the Christians of today have inherited the special privileges that were enjoyed by the early Hebrew believers, but also the special problems that go with those privileges. You see, the Hebrews, as the very name indicates, had a different background from all other New Testament believers. All the other epistles, perhaps with the exception of those of James and Peter, are addressed to believers who'd come from a non-Jewish background, to Gentile believers. But this epistle is specifically and primarily addressed to believers from a Jewish background. And that background gave them many advantages, many special privileges which were not enjoyed by the Gentiles or the pagans from other nations and backgrounds. Let me just mention three main advantages. First of all, these Jewish believers had been freed for many centuries from the awful iniquities of idolatry and false cults. The law of Moses, by which they ordered their lives, abounds with warnings against these two things which are abomination with God. Secondly, they had a thorough knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, the special, unique revelation which God gave through his word in the Old Testament to the Jewish people. Thirdly, they had familiarity with the temple, with its sacrifices, with the forms of worship, with the beautiful liturgies, with many, many things that could have strengthened and purified their faith. But the sad truth is that many of them had not made proper use of these benefits. That's why the writer of the epistle had to say this to them, some very sad and solemn words, which he writes to them in the 5th chapter, verses 11 through 14. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Isn't that a tragic condition to be in, slow to learn, with that special background? In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That's what I call the tragedy of arrested spiritual development. They should have been mature and grown up, but they were still spiritually infants, not able to take more than milk. I believe the same is true of many, many professing Christians in our world today. You see, the reason why the Hebrews were in that condition is they'd failed to do what the writer says. They had not, by constant use, trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. They hadn't applied themselves to the study of Scripture. They hadn't given sufficient priority to spiritual things in their lives. As a result of this condition, the Epistle to the Hebrews contains more solemn warnings of the danger of falling away than any other book in the New Testament. That's remarkable. I'll give you just five brief quotations from five different passages in Hebrew which contain these solemn warnings. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? You see the two dangers? Drifting and ignoring. Then in Hebrews 3:12, See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. The great danger there really is unbelief. Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. What's the danger there? Laziness. Spiritual laziness. And then in Hebrews 10:35-36, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. The danger there is failing to persevere, not holding on. And finally, in Hebrews 12:25, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? The danger there is just refusing to hear God when he speaks. Isn't it remarkable that people with such spiritual privileges had to be warned of these terrible dangers?
You know, I've known for a long time that the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish believers, but I hadn't thought about the fact that they really were very much like us today, people who had a lot of advantages, a lot of privileges, but they failed to use those benefits or privileges properly or heed the warnings. That's what Derek is urging us to do. Listen, there's so much more to come in this wonderful teaching, and I'm going to have a special friend in the studio as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
This new year brings new opportunities to make the next 12 months your best ever, if you maintain a positive, word-based focus. Now, Derek Prince Ministries wants to help you do just that by sending you a free proclamation card. This companion to the 12 Steps to a Good Year series is the perfect reminder of God's important and powerful place in your life, each and every day. Derek adapted this powerful New Year's proclamation from specific Bible promises, and we'd love to send you that very proclamation on a card you can carry in your Bible. We believe God will use it to stir your confidence and put the unfailing power of the Word to work in your circumstances. For your free copy, simply call us toll-free at 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take that first step and call now. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and again, I want to wish you a merry, merry Christmas. May Christ be formed in you afresh. We're listening to Derek talk about 12 steps to a great new year. Let's listen as he talks about an extremely important principle, and I'll have a special friend with me here in just a little while.
We've looked at the condition of the Hebrew Christians, the Jewish believers, at the beginning of the New Testament age, nearly 2,000 years ago. Today, I believe, in a certain sense, the shoe is on the other foot. It's not primarily Jewish believers who are in danger of these things, but believers from non-Jewish background, people from so-called Christian nations, people who've been, quote, born in the Christian church, people who automatically call themselves Christians without ever really stopping to consider what that means. I think that we see many professing Christians today enjoying the same kind of privileges that the Hebrew Christians enjoyed at the beginning of this era. I mentioned three. First, they'd been delivered from idolatry. Well, that's true of multitudes of professing Christians. They have no thought of deliberate idolatry. Secondly, the Hebrews had a knowledge of the Scriptures, and that's true to a degree of many professing Christians today. In some measure, they're familiar with the Scriptures, the Old Testament and the New. Thirdly, the Hebrews were familiar with the services of the temple, and I find many, many Christians who are in some measure familiar with church services, with religious terminology, with forms of prayer, with ceremonies, all of which probably contain within them somewhere tremendous gems of spiritual truth. And yet it's a sad fact to use a phrase borrowed from the world, that many times familiarity breeds contempt. We're so used to things, we take them for granted. We don't appreciate what's available to us, and we tend to be in need of the same warning that the Hebrews received, warning against drifting, being negligent, being lazy, presuming on God's grace, taking things for granted that are extremely precious and extremely important. I believe, as I've already said, that's a picture of multitudes of professing Christians. Could it possibly be a picture of you? I want to suggest to you that the remedy is just the same as it was for the Hebrew Christians. I believe that's exactly why, in that epistle to the Hebrews, we have that phrase, "let us," 12 times. Those 12 "let us" resolutions of Hebrews are the answer to that spiritual condition which was the particular problem of the Hebrew Christians, and which I believe, almost by inheritance, is the particular problem of multitudes of professing Christians, especially in our Western culture today.
We've been listening to Derek talk about 12 steps to a good year. And you know, Derek taught us three things that I just want to summarize very quickly. First of all, that resolutions determine attitudes, attitudes determine approach, and approach determines outcome. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for better outcome in 2007. Listen, with me in the studio today is David Holland, one of our producers. Now, you may remember him as the man who brings testimonies and outside information here. But Dave's here today to talk to us about some other things. Dave, it's great having you here.
Thanks. Merry Christmas, Stephen.
Thank you very much. Now, we're at this sort of end of the year point, and in the same way that individuals do, we're thinking back on the year and what's happened. And we've been on the air now for, wow, 3 or 4 months. Hasn't it been that?
That's exactly right. We launched the program several months ago. We've been broadcasting through the autumn, and a lot of people have been discovering Derek Prince for the very first time.
And, you know, it's really been a wild ride because we're doing this unique thing where we're taking this amazing audio archive that Derek left us, and we're putting it out on the air, combining it with things like what we're doing right now, you know, sort of wrapping contemporary commentary around it. But we're hearing some amazing feedback, aren't we?
That's exactly right. We're hearing from lots of people who've heard this distinguished British gentleman's voice come out of the radio, and they're being blessed, and God is touching them. And a lot of people are asking, how is it that I can be more involved? Is it possible to be more involved in Derek Prince Ministries? What kind of things can I do to really have more of a relationship with the ministry? And those are some things I want to be touch base with you over the next few days and talk about. We'll share some things that people can do to actually really engage the ministry and be more involved in Derek Prince Ministries.
Well, you know, that's exciting to me because as much as I love Derek's teaching and I'm thrilled to be part of this show, I don't want to be involved in something that's just Christian entertainment. You know, we've got a lot of that going on in the body of Christ. I want to be a part of something that's forward moving, that's rallying an army, that's sounding a trumpet call. And it sounds like you're going to give us that kind of information.
That's exactly right. Kingdom impact.
That's fantastic. Well, I look forward to having you in the next few days.
I'll be happy to come back. That'd be great.
All right. Well, listen, it's great having you all with us. We are listening to this fantastic series called 12 Steps to a Good Year. We'll be doing that for the next several weeks. You don't want to miss it. I know in this coming week, you're going to have parties and family time, but set aside time to listen to this great series called 12 Steps to a Good Year. And we'll also have Dave back in the studio and talk about how we can really engage with the truths that Derek is teaching us. Listen, for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. And again, I want to wish you a merry, merry Christmas. May Christ be formed in you afresh. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your own copy of Transformed for Life for only $12.95 when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And be sure to ask for your free proclamation card outlining Derek's 12 Steps to a Good Year featured during this week's series. It's our special gift to you. Call 800-448-3261. The call and the proclamation card are both free. 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can send your support securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.